Paris Fort Smith. Broadcasting live from the Toyota Studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio?
Yes, talk radio.
So boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
HitThatLine.com.
I got that one.
This is The Morning Rush.
Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors.
I don't mind cigarettes being inside.
Tommy Kraft.
Their parents were acting a fool in the bleachers at the boys' club.
And Nick Mason.
Do as I say, not as I do.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
And welcome into the Morning Rush here on this beautiful day in the great state of Arkansas. I am John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason in studio with me as well. We appreciate everybody listening in, and thank you for making us a part of your day today. We're going to have a lot of Chad Morris and Arkansas football, spring football talk. Got to make sure I specify that, as he was meeting with the media yesterday. We're going to have some clips from him, get some updates on what's going on in spring practice. There's also some pretty big basketball news going on that we're going to discuss in depth. There's rumors flying around. Nick Mason was Adam Schefter over here just going crazy on his phone, trying to figure out the scoops. There's a lot going on there that we're going to have to unfold.
It wasn't even that. I just was telling everybody there's a tweet that I always tweet out once a year. And
change
it never
fails.
Come. Yeah, well, hey, I used to tweet that out all the time. But there's a tweet that I tweet out once a year, and it's every year around this time. And I always say, with the college basketball team, and I guess this holds true, and football as well, but there are so many kids on the football team that people expect this. But with the college basketball team, what you think is on paper going into the season always changes. One of a few things will always happen. A guy will leave early for the NBA. A recruit won't qualify. A recruit may decommit. Somebody will be hurt or injured or sick and out for the season. Or a guy will get kicked off the team. However you want to sum it up, it's going to happen, and the roster that you think on paper right now that you see the Razorbacks, okay, I think C.J. Jones is going to start, I think Daniel Gafford's going to start, Adriel Bailey, then I think that this recruit's going to make it in and he's going to be the sixth man, this and that. Something's going to change on that roster, and I've actually gone back and looked at a bunch of the rosters, and over the last 10 years, something has always happened to an Arkansas Razorback basketball roster. So I was tweeting out yesterday, just like I tweeted out last year, as Facebook reminded me that, hey, one of these couple of things seems to always happen. And even though you escaped with getting Daniel Gafford back, I don't know if Arkansas is completely in the clear yet.
No, it's a fascinating thing, because I like how you bring it up. Because when we were texting back and forth, I started thinking about it yesterday. Of just in the past, under Mike Anderson with the Razorback basketball program, once the final game ended of the season, you knew, okay, these seniors that are on the team, they're not coming back because obviously they're seniors. So you can obviously 100% count on those guys not returning to school the next season. And when that game ended, I can't think of a single time where all the underclassmen returned.
Zero.
I mean, like, there was never
not,
a time. That
there's
even,
not.
Even if you wanted
there's
to
not
take,
a time.
Even if you want to take into account when Michael Qualls and Bobby Portis left early, which, I mean, no one was shocked by that, maybe more so with Qualls, but people were portraying him as being an NBA draft pick. But even then, you had Nick Babb transfer out. And then the next year, you didn't have Ted Capita qualify. Ja'Cory Williams got kicked off the team. Like, it's just
Jimmy Witt's out.
Sometimes,
remember, Hunter Mickelson's out.
That's
Devontae
right.
Abrams out.
Yeah.
Jew Nobles is out. I mean, it's going to
It's a revolving door.
It's going to happen. And it's not a Mike Anderson problem. It's not an Arkansas problem.
It's
just
a college
basketball problem.
Yeah.
And those things are going to happen every year. So every year you can expect that one of those few things are going to happen. Even last year when you thought that you were in the clear and you're looking up and you're like, okay, nobody's transferred, all the recruits made it. Khalil Garland's out for the season.
Yeah.
With a heart issue.
And some of this, not that obviously, but some of this goes back to what Tubby was saying before he got fired at Memphis, that we've just made it so easy for kids to transfer. We've made it so easy for them to just get upset with their coach, mad at a coach, not like the situation, not like their playing time, whatever it is, and, you know, more or less quit this situation. Let's go find a better situation today. And the parents go along with it. And what was it, the number he gave, that 600 transfers or whatever in college basketball?
700, something like that, yeah.
It was an eye-opening number. So what would make you think there's not going to be change at your school when there's that many transfers across the landscape of 300? I mean, that's two per school, roughly, on average, or close to it. So, you know, odds are you're going to have at least one.
I just think how with college basketball and the way that it's gone with this problem, because it is a problem, but it's like, what can you do about it? Can you even fix it? Do you want to fix it? Or is it just something you have to accept and saying, you know what? This is the way it is.
Right.
And as coaches or as administrators, it's almost like, you know, if you're an athletic director or whatever, or the chancellor or something like that, where at the end of the basketball season, you basically get out your transfer request forms. It's like, all right, who's going to need these? You know, you start handing them out. It's like, hey, if you don't need it, that's fine. But if you're going to fill it out, let me know by the end of the day. I mean, it's pretty much how it is.
It's difficult to do anything else for a couple reasons. One, how are you going to make it more difficult? You already tell them you got to sit out a full year, and kids still don't want to be in school anymore. Like, they still don't want to be at that school. They'd rather leave and sit out a full year. So what are you going to tell me? You got to sit out two full years? At that point, that's not even realistic.
Well, then you put restrictions on where they can go.
Yeah.
On where they can go. And you know, a lot of kids can't transfer within the conference. If you're a good player, they're not going to let you transfer within the conference. And then there have been some schools. I remember when Bo Ryan was at Wisconsin, not only did he restrict a kid of going anywhere in the conference, but then he picked out the top schools that were on the kid when the kid was coming out of high school and told him he couldn't go to those schools either. The biggest issue, though, is you have 5 years to play four. So if we do start changing things and making it to where that we tell the kid, okay, you have to at least be at the school for 2 years, now you're eating into that clock. And this is one of the few things in the country that you have a limited time to do. Just think about that. You can go to college for 35 years if you want to. You can go and you can be in the military for 30-plus years. You can go work at dealers for 30-plus years. You can work in radio. You can go anywhere really in life and do it for as long as you want to, or if you're paying out money or whatever the case may be. You can do anything in life for as long as you want to outside of play collegiate sports. And so if we start making even more restrictions, or we start making it to where, okay, you can only transfer if you're a senior, or you have to stay in school for 2 or 3 years to figure out if you like it. When you start doing those things, I don't know how fair that is, because then that only leaves the kids with two more years or one more year, just depending on how you go about the transfer rule.
Is it... And obviously with college athletics, there's a lot of different problems. And, the problems with football is not the same as the problems with basketball. But why does it seem like in basketball it's such a more prevalent thing for transfers, even though football technically has more players on teams, more positions, more? Is it just because of how the sport's played, how the attitude is? Like, what's the difference between football and basketball, where football, yeah, you have transfers, but not near the alarming rate and at the alarming percentage that basketball does?
It's just a numbers game, and I don't even think it's a percentage thing, because on a football team dresses, what, 85 for SEC games?
Well, 85 on scholarship.
Okay.
Yeah, so many that travel, like 60 that travel.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
two more at home.
Right, but about 100 kids, yeah, give or take. Basketball has 14 or 15, and a couple of those being
13 scholarship and
walk-ons, yeah, as well. Well, if you have 13 and 15 and you have two or three guys thinking about leaving, it just seems like a lot more than if you have 105 and 25 guys are leaving. Even though 25 guys leaving would be very alarming and that would be a larger percentage, you're still thinking about, okay, well, it's 25 guys leaving. You have 100. Whereas in basketball, there are just not as many guys. And it also seems like, too, like in football, you don't see potential stars leaving as much. Whereas in basketball, you see a lot of grad transfers. You see a lot of guys that go out there and play, or it looks like they have a bright future, or maybe even could return back and start, and those kids still end up leaving. You look at a guy like Dedrick Lawson, who was at Memphis. He was their best player in, you know, at a big-time university. He was their best player. They went to him all the time. His dad was on the coaching staff. He still leaves.
Yeah.
Malik Newman, you look at him, he's still up and up, leaves. Like, in football, that just doesn't tend to happen as much unless a guy is a grad transfer.
Well, that, and I think that maybe something that's a little overlooked, and it'll never be stated because no one's going to admit this, but I think a lot of it can be in basketball. Maybe the players feel like, I can go to a team, step right in, and be the guy, or I can step right in and contribute right away, and I'll go and get mine. I'll be fine. I'll be able to score points. I'll be able to get rebounds because that's the type of game I have. Where in football, it's like, if you're a quarterback, you don't just transfer to a place and say, okay, well, I'm going to be great at this place, because what if the offensive line sucks? What if you have no receivers to throw to?
Yeah.
You know, those types of things. I feel like in basketball, it's a little easier to go in and transition to a new team and to step right in and to be able to play your game than it would be in football, where you don't know what it looks like. There could be a completely different philosophy. There could be, it depends on how they're recruiting and where they're at. It's just different situations, obviously. But basketball is a little easier to have an individual go right in and fit in a lot easier than it would be in football, I would think.
And, too, in basketball, the money's a lot closer. And
true that.
Whenever I say that, in football, it doesn't matter if you win the Heisman as a freshman, you're coming back to school. You can win the Heisman as a sophomore, you're coming back to school. Like, it just doesn't matter how good you are. And then a lot of people brace themselves, and a lot of the times you come into college knowing that you're coming off the bench when you're in college and you're on the football team. Whereas on the basketball team, everybody gears up each and every year to be a one and done, or to come in right away and have immediate playing time. And I think that's the biggest issue that's going on with a lot of these kids, and why they're getting out of there early is because they're trying to play right away, and some of these guys aren't having a lot of success early on.
We're going to continue this discussion throughout the show, because there are some things that we want to get to, if I can say it right, specifically with the Razorback basketball program. And we'll also get into Chad Morris and some spring football talk, recruiting talk, Richard Davenport coming up at 8:15. We got Tom Murphy of Arkansas Democrat Gazette coming up as well. We're going to have it all right here, 877-377-6963. This is The Morning Rush. Welcome back into The Morning Rush. Appreciate everybody listening in. I'm talking a lot about basketball transfers. I think it's a hot topic. It's like, maybe it's more so because, you know, it looks to me that there might be some potential transfers out of the Razorback basketball program at this point. But, you know, if that's the case, when it happens, you know, Mike Anderson's going to have to find a way to kind of overcome that. I know he's got a solid freshman class, but we were already talking about, assuming everyone was coming back, how this team was going to be
right,
a little struggling at the very beginning. But now, If he's not getting the transfer, if he's having some guys transfer out, maybe he can look to get some guys transfer in, maybe some grad transfers, maybe go that route too. But I'm not exactly envious of being a college basketball for those reasons right there, because I couldn't imagine how frustrating that must be. So they get you have a team and then, I'm leaving. Well, okay, you kind of left me holding the bag here. Yeah, it's going to be a struggle without you anyway, and now I'm not even going to have you, and the pressure's on me to find a way to figure it out. And you know, that's just not an easy thing to overcome.
And not directly speaking on any kid or anybody, but the reason that, and once again, I tweet this out every single year, one of the biggest reasons why I tweet these things out every single year, let's go all the way back to Mike Anderson's first recruiting class. Now, of course, when you're talking about transition, you're getting guys in, you have guys that are leaving, but that very first class, I'm not going to count Rodney Clark and Jeff Peterson and those guys who ended up leaving. But in that very first class, Aaron Ross doesn't make it to campus. And you're like, okay, for whatever reason, I think he goes back to prep school. And then after that, he ended at Texas Tech. So then after Mike's first year, Devontae Abram and Jew Nobles didn't make it back. Okay, that happens. Okay, cool. Let's go look for next year. The next year, Hunter Mickelson, B.J. Young, Marshawn Powell. All those guys, two of the guys leave early, another kid transfers. Okay, so he's still trying to get his guys in because Marshawn was one of Pelfrey's guys. So now he has all his guys in. D. Wagner transfers. Now, they told him to leave. So
it was kind of a mutual thing.
Right, right. It's a little bit of a difference, but it still goes back to guys are either transferring or they're leaving school early. After D. Wagner, now, and all of these are year by year by year by year by year. So after D. Wagner, you're talking about Jacory Williams. Of course, he gets kicked off the team the same year that Mike Qualls and Bobby Portis also
and Nick Babb
leave as well. Yeah. Nick Babb. And then after that, you're talking about Lorenzo Jenkins, Jimmy Witt, Ted Capita. He doesn't make it. Bracken Hazen, he's asked to leave. And then last year, Khalil Garland didn't play. So every year, there's something that's going to happen to a roster. And whenever you have 700 or 800 kids transferring out, then in return, it's not just happening to Arkansas. Because go back and look at the guys that Arkansas has brought in. They brought in Keaton Miles. They brought in Dusty Hannes.
Alandis Harris.
They brought in Alandis Harris. They brought in Willie Kawase. I mean, so
Jalen Harris this year, yeah.
Right. So even though Arkansas is having guys that are leaving, other programs are having them leave too, because Arkansas is bringing in a kid every single year, Dustin Thomas. And I think it's going to continue to be like this. I don't think, and I'm not sure, unless you're talking about a drastic change, with that change being you have to stay at your school for 2 years or you have to stay at your school for 3 years to give it a chance. Unless you're talking about doing something like that, I don't know if you can make it any more difficult for kids to transfer, because already right now, once again, teams are not letting you transfer in conference, and then they're restricting you from transferring to a handful of other schools, and then you have to sit out for a year if you don't get a waiver. And waivers are a lot more difficult to come by now. So at that point, these things are going to happen every year. So it's almost like you can't really fall in love with the roster until game one, and until that game is and until that first game in the non-conference is tipped off and you actually know who's for sure going to be on your team.
Yeah, it's just college basketball is, you know, it's the off-season part of it. It's not even, recruiting's not even that big, as big of a deal much anymore. Like, you know, signing day is such a huge ordeal in football. It's almost got to the point where what's the biggest off-season thing in college basketball? Well, who's transferring?
Free agency.
Yeah, exactly. It's a free agent market.
And that's what it is. And then, and that's another thing, too. I don't know if I'd say it hurts the game, but you think these kids are waiting until their very last game? I had somebody text me this. They're like, oh, well, okay, so Arkansas, if Arkansas has a couple of kids who transfer out, then it's not too late for them to go get other kids. You think kids are waiting until their final game and then they're picking up the phone and calling these different schools and saying, hey, Arkansas, are you interested? Or, hey, are you interested? When Nick Babb left, he knew in December he was leaving. I remember getting calls in December about, yeah, well, Nick Babb is unhappy, so they told him to just sit it out or wait it out. Then at the end of the year, you'll be going to Iowa State. And, like, I got this call in December, and I was like, hold on, he's already. And what do you know? At the end of the year, he asked for his release, and he ended up going to Iowa State. So
same thing with Hunter Mickelson. I mean, that guy was just – you could even tell in the way he played. I mean, it was kind of transcendent of – he just was kind of, I'm done here. I'm not really feeling it anymore.
And that was another one, too. At least I was told by his people that that was another one, too, that he was kind of pushed out or kind of asked to
right,
to
but
leave.
You could just tell that a change was coming.
Right. And whatever the case may be, though, these other schools aren't waiting until the last game, or they're not waiting until it doesn't go like this. A kid doesn't put out on Twitter, hey, I'm transferring, and then all teams start picking up the phone at that time. People start talking about the transfer, or people start talking through AAU coaches or buddies or high school coaches. People start talking through those guys about kids transferring when the kid is unhappy, and it may be a year out, and then the kid ends up transferring towards the end of the year. So there are a bunch of different issues and a bunch of different problems, and I don't know if it's fixable.
I think that Arkansas and a lot of fans, at least when they talk about the transferring, the guys that have come into Arkansas under Mike Anderson, so, you know, they've been fine. I mean, Landis Harris was pretty good. You know, he had, and obviously he was a starter on a tournament team.
I think
team.
You've had two good ones and you've had three duds.
Yeah. And because I guess when you consider Cody Clark, he was a JUCO guy. So JUCO, So you're not getting the guys that are like a five-star or a four-star at a program that was really good and then they were really good at that program and transferring in. You're getting guys that may be risky as far as, you know, are they going to be an improvement or are they going to just be the same? Yeah, you're not getting the big name guys right. that are coming in.
I mean,
they're looking for places either.
But though, how many teams are getting big name guys? Like,
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Kansas is going to get a couple, and then unless guys are trying to go backwards, but from there, and the two kids that you got that have been two of the better transfers, and Alandis Harris and Dusty Hannes, you really got lucky that those two kids just have wanted to be Razorbacks their entire life. And would have done anything, and you know, because Dusty at Texas Tech was averaging 5 or 6 a game, and Alandis Harris, and so yeah, it's tough to go out there and get guys that are gonna make an immediate impact unless you're getting a grad transfer.
Yeah, and in a lot of cases, at least with Arkansas, they haven't had much luck with that either, as far as getting the grad transfer. I mean, Willie Kawase was the only one I can think of that was a grad type transfer where they were eligible immediately,
probably. So. In the last 10 years, is probably the only one that they've...
only one I can think of, and I could be wrong, because, I mean, like you said, college basketball has been just a revolving door.
I will say this, though.
Program.
I will say this, though. Depending on what ends up happening at the University of Arkansas, if people leave or if they stay, you have to look at it, though, and if you're trying to be positive, and I'm going to try to be more positive.
What a guy.
But if you're trying to be positive, and this is the truth, though, you have a chance, though, to go get guys that will impact your team next year more than anybody who could leave. Because outside of Daniel Gafford, any of the rest of those guys could leave, and you can go out there and find a grad transfer that would impact your program more next year than anybody on your roster not named Daniel Gafford. And so now, if two guys leave or if three guys end up leaving and you're able to go get three guys, if it's the leading scorer of the SWAC, that's a grad transfer, or if it's another grad transfer in you know, the Mountain West, or a grad transfer in the ACC, whatever the case may be, you can go out there and get three starters, three guys that have impacted other programs and other teams, and those two or three guys, or those one or two guys, would impact the program more than anybody not named Daniel Gafford. So if the coaches have been keeping up and if they have a few connections to land a couple of grad transfers, it doesn't really help you a lot for the future. But for next year, you could possibly go get a couple of additional guys if guys leave, and you could possibly be back in the NCAA tournament.
I'm certain that we will bring this up later in the show and revisit this topic because it is interesting. And we're going to monitor the Arkansas roster to see, because as we've said before, every single year at Arkansas, and it's not just an Arkansas problem, it's a college basketball problem. You've had transfers, changes, whatever it may be going on. So we'll see if Arkansas ends up being that in that position as well. So but I don't know. It's just, it's a tough thing to try to wrap your head around. It's a tough thing to try to make sense out of. But it is a discussion point. And with Arkansas, a team that's already going, even with Daniel Gafford coming back, they're going to be in a tough spot. But for them to try to get back to where they need to be is also going to be tough for them as well. So we'll see how it plays out. But we're gonna bring it back later in the show and discuss and continue to monitor that. Appreciate everybody listening, and all made possible thanks to Williams Tractor.
Yeah, Beat Equip for tomorrow starts today. Buy now and save on the new Holland equipment you need from Williams Tractor in Fayetteville and in Rogers. Take advantage of 0% financing plus cash back on New Holland tractors, hay, and harvesting equipment. Get my Williams Tractor in Fayetteville or Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas in Rogers today and see how much you can save.
Coming up next, everyone's favorite segment of the day, Three in the Lane with Nick Mason. This is The Morning Rush.